When you make an appointment to interview a historian, you expect to meet in a musty museum or perhaps a professor's book-lined office. But when I made an appointment to visit with the official historian for Great Smoky Mountains National Park, they told me to bring boots and watch where I stepped. I caught up with ranger historian Brad Free as he fed the livestock on one of the park's living history farms. After that chore was done, we sat down inside the farm's sorghum mill to talk about the park's unique history. This region was once home to the Cherokee Indians, and Ranger Free says the Smoky Mountains are still a special, almost sacred place for the tribe.
They believe that their people are the people that have been here since day one. If you talk to the elders, they say that their Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, was here in the Smoky Mountains.
Most of the Cherokee were eventually expelled from their idea of paradise on earth. In the winter of 1838, to open up more land for white settlement, the U.S. government rounded up 13,000 Cherokees and forced them to march west more than 1,200 kilometers to the new Indian territory. Some 4,000 people died along the way. A few hundred Cherokees managed to elude capture thanks to the Smoky Mountains' rugged terrain. Their descendants still live along the park's borders.
They said there's caves up there that they were hiding in, and the U.S. military could not find them up in there. And so they never did find them. And even today, people have tried to find these caves up there, and nobody knows where it was. But the terrain is pretty rough up there.
The Living History Farm sits much lower, wedged between steep hills and a rolling stream. It portrays what life was like for the European settlers who called the Smokies home. Ranger Free says they were remarkably self-reliant and skilled in practical crafts.
Baskets, you know, pot holders or horseshoes or plows, anything like that. I mean, folks were actually making these things on the farm to use them. They may do or do without, basically, is what it is. And that would have been up till the time of the Civil War.
In the years following the Civil War of 1861 to 65, American industry quickly exhausted the natural resources of the northeastern section of the country. The nation began looking farther south and west for the lumber and coal needed to support continued growth. What most of today's visitors to Smoky Mountains National Park fail to realize is that the forests they enjoy so much are not virgin timber. By the early 1900s, much of what is now National Park had been stripped bare.
75% of this, there was no tree standing. And now you see 521,000 acres of this beautiful, very young forest.
Ranger Free says today's visitors owe a great debt to park naturalists who worked tirelessly over the last 75 years to return the Smokies to their original splendor.
We brought back the river otters, we brought back the elk, the peregrine falcons, brook trout. There's been so many things that have happened that have brought the whole ecosystem maybe back somewhat to maybe it would have been for the first humans came in this area.
Free says America also owes a debt to the eclectic collection of people who championed the park's creation in the early 1900s. The states of North Carolina and Tennessee, as well as the federal government, pitched in funds, but total donations fell short of the amount needed to purchase land for a park. The remainder, he says, was raised in a truly democratic fashion.
Local communities raise money. There's stories about school kids giving nickels and dimes in their schools to raise money. There were large investors coming in, getting the money. And eventually, in the 1928, Little River Lumber Company sold the first tract of land, which was like 76,000 acres.
It would be another 6 years before sufficient land was accumulated to charter a national park, something the United States Congress finally did on June 15, 1934. 75 years later, Ranger Free says America is still wrestling with how best to use natural and cultural treasures like the Great Smoky Mountains.
I'm hoping we can also find that balance between nature and humans. And it's going to be a challenge for the future rangers in this area to do that. As population increases, as we go to 20 million people a year coming to this park, as you know, surrounding communities are building closer to the park, there's going to be some challenges ahead of us.
The farm cat this.
Before they begin looking ahead, however, the Park Service will look back to Smoky Mountain National Park's creation. Nearly 100 events celebrating the 75th anniversary will be held in the park and surrounding communities over the next few weeks. I'm Mike Osborne, Smoky Mountains National Park.